There are some people that will not hear this message, even though they listen very closely. As Jesus said, let him who has ears hear what the Spirit says. My words, God's words, are nothing, but God's word is everything. When I'm speaking from God's word, it is a message from him to you. It is not done. Messages, if something is a matter of personal opinion, to label it that so that you can make up your own mind. Word, there is no choice if you are a Christian. If you have repented and turned your heart toward God, there is no choice. Our hearts must listen to the voice of the Lord. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And what a blessed voice it is. In the midst of all this confusion, to hear a voice of clarity, of authority, of compassion and love and forgiveness is a great privilege. The title of this morning's message is A Simple Solution. A simple solution for life's biggest problems. And there are some big ones, are there not? Some of them, immense is a better word than big. Some of them, a huge tangled mess is even more accurate than immense. We struggle as human beings because we believe that the solution to our problems must be a complex one. Why? Largely because of our vanity. Largely because we think that if a problem stumps us, it must indeed be a complicated problem with a complicated answer. Reality? Well, sometimes we just don't want to see reality. Sometimes that answer is so simple that our ego cannot accept that fact. A simple solution for life's problems. This is a solution that is hidden in plain sight. It is much like the gospel itself and Jesus himself. I was astonished when I came to believe in Jesus Christ because there he had been right in front of my face all my life long, and I had never seen it. It was hidden in plain sight. And like that, the solution to some of life's biggest problems is hidden in plain sight. This morning, our message is going to deal with repentance. Okay? I had a blank look in several people's eyes the minute that word came on the screen. Now, why? I'm not sure. Maybe because this is something you don't want to hear about. Maybe because you anticipate a hellfire and damnation message. Maybe because you don't really know what it means. Or maybe just because you're thinking about the pot roast at home that may be burning right now. But whatever reason it might be, cancel it, because this is really important. The message of repentance is a part of the gospel of Christ. In fact, in some terms, in some churches, it is called the gospel of repentance. The gospel of repentance. Why is that so significant? For this simple reason. Most people think that repentance is bad news. Oh no, we've got to change. Well, I've tried that before, it didn't work. Or, yeah, I've done that, and it didn't give me any really great thrill. Change, real change, is what life is all about. If you are seeking a mate, you probably want somebody who is capable of making positive changes and then hanging on to them. And if they are not capable of making positive changes, and by the way, positive changes are the changes that are described by repentance. If you're not capable of making positive changes, you really don't want anything to do with them, do you? Well, if you're smart, if they're not capable of sustaining positive changes, you really don't want anything to do with them, do you? Well, if you're smart, God's pretty smart. Now, don't misunderstand. Number one, repentance is a requirement for salvation. Number two, God's heart is completely given to the assurance that you will receive the blessing of repentance. Completely given to do whatever He can do to awaken your mind to the joy of repentance. It is a joy. It is truly part of the gospel or the good news. Repentance, turned away from by many, many, the majority of those who call themselves Christians. Now don't look at me like I'm the world's biggest cynic. Consider this for a moment. In this world, the gospel is taught and preached minus one critical factor, sometimes two or three critical factors, but most often, at least this one: repentance. Did you know that Jesus talked about preaching the gospel to the world, and He talked about preaching repentance to the world, first in Jerusalem, and then to all the nations, in His terms, preaching repentance to them. And in the total context, He was talking clearly about preaching the gospel. If you remove repentance from the gospel, you are removing the gospel. I am a full gospel preacher. I believe in preaching, teaching the whole gospel of God. If I were to leave out any part of it, God forbid, my soul would be responsible for the death of many souls. This is not a popular topic. You will not find many sermons being preached this morning on the topic of repentance. God forgive the total ignorance and insensitivity and lack of understanding in this world. Many churches preach a gospel of just believe. Just believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. Well, if a person really understands what that is, that would almost be true. But too many people look at it like this: if I just believe, that's all that's necessary. Just believe in Jesus, doesn't matter what else. Listen, if you do just believe in Jesus, you're going to repent. You will. Otherwise, you don't really believe Him, because you know the word believe means to trust. If you trust Jesus, you are going to repent. You'll notice in your bulletin a subheading for the title of the sermon is Matthew 3:2. It's not printed out there, but there the scripture says that we are to repent. It tells us to repent. Now, it gives a reason for that repentance. It says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the message of Jesus. It was the message of John the Baptist. It was the message of Paul the Apostle. It was the message of Peter on the day of Pentecost. It was their message, the gospel, that included repentance. Paul preached before Felix, and he preached the gospel of repentance in Acts 26, or in Acts 24. In Acts 26, he preached before King Agrippa, and he preached repentance. These were to people that didn't believe. When he shared the gospel with them, he shared with them the reality, the necessity of repentance. How can any church eliminate that from the gospel? If they do, they will get a person started on the right road, but you can't continue on the road of true Christianity, not even close, unless you believe in repentance. I want to clear a few things up about repentance. First of all, it is far more, it has far more depth than you understand. As a Christian of many, many years, by the way, people made that abundantly clear to me last week. I woke up and I had 60 sunflowers sitting, the delivery man from the flower shop, sunflowers. They wanted me to, I guess, be encouraged in spite of my ancient age. God wants us to have a deeper understanding of what repentance is. That comes with time. And I think that sometimes we spend 40 years in the wilderness when we have a journey that shouldn't take any more than probably 40 or 50 days. But we wander around in the wilderness, and it's called, by the way, the wilderness of sin. Failing to repent. If the Israelites had a penitent, faithful attitude toward the Lord, if they'd really trusted in Him, they could have gone right into the promised land. Instead, they came down into the wilderness and wandered around and around and around. And I think sometimes that's typical of the Christian life. How many churches today are teaching the whole gospel? Well, you have many churches that will say, yeah, you're not teaching the full gospel unless you teach the gospel of healing. Well, I really don't see that in the scripture. It doesn't really say that. God believe in healing? Sure, God heals. God made us to heal. God is able to do healing far beyond what you currently understand or expect. We have a testimony to that sitting right in back here, and I won't embarrass her by calling out her name, but she's here this morning for the first time in 5 months. And she's here because of God's healing power. Finally quit taking some of those pain medications, and suddenly she felt no pain. it's amazing what God can do if we trust in Him. The depth of understanding of repentance is critically important. What do you think repentance is? They say, well, I know, you know, it was just a few weeks ago or just a few months ago, and I repented. And, you know, I quit doing this or I quit doing that. And maybe you've done that and been successful. But that is not living a life of repentance. I want to challenge you this morning to consider this. Repentance is not a matter of simply turning away from a sin here or there. Real repentance involves a repentance of your attitude and your continuing attitude toward life. Real repentance is the kind of thing that moves you to tears, that says, I am turning away from the things that I have loved in the past, and I'm trusting God in the future. I don't know where I'm going, but it doesn't matter because He will guide me if I trust Him, and I know that regardless of what the world says or thinks or does. It doesn't matter. I know that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What if you were to, at this moment, repent? You say, well, repent of what? I'm just listening to you. Well, maybe if you're really listening, you don't need to repent. But maybe if you're not really listening, that's a good place to start repenting. You know, I can't tell you, but the teaching that comes from the leadership here is blessed by God. It comes as a result of many years of dedicated service. I'm not speaking of myself, I'm speaking of the leadership in, as a whole. It comes from many years with much experience, much heartache. It did not come easily, and it comes from much study in the Word of God and prayer to do His will. It grieves me when I see people that lightly treat that. You don't know what a treasure you have. When somebody just says, well, you know, it's a pretty nice day out, I think I'll take a walk, and I think I'm going to take that walk beginning at 10:30 and ending probably about noon. They may take it quite lightly, but it grieves me when I think of the people that miss the message that's here because they don't know that God's heart desires to lead them out of the confusion, out of the pain in which they live. The solution to life's greatest problems is indeed a very simple one, and yet one of great depth. Repentance is simple, and yet God requires repentance from the heart. It was a critical message of Paul. It was a critical message of Jonah. Back when Jonah preached, because God asked him to, he preached repentance to Nineveh. He said, these people aren't going to listen. But God told him to preach it, so he did. And what happened was amazing. In Jonah chapter 3, it shows that they actually repented as a result. They actually turned around, turned their lives around, and turned them toward God. In Matthew, Jesus told the people to repent. The scripture says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3, verse 2. Notice the motive there, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You say, yeah, let's see. Well, that was back then. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. Jesus, the day of Pentecost was coming, and there was going to be the kingdom. But, of course, that doesn't apply to us now, because the kingdom of heaven has come. Hasn't it? Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, it has come. But, you know, as I look around, I think it's not entirely here. Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Now, what does that mean? Thy kingdom come. Oh, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the definition of thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Is it being done here? What, maybe 50%? Oh, what an optimist I am, huh? 10%, 5%, 1%. It's not very good, folks, whatever it is. The kingdom has not fully arrived. That's my point. Is God's kingdom, His kingdom of heaven, coming? Yes, it is. We are going to see it become more evident as time goes on. Maybe extremely evident in a very short time. In fact, it may be as soon as today for you. We see the kingdom of God as long as Jesus is the King enthroned in our hearts. That's how it works. Now, I think it's a shame that a Christian should have to be admonished to have Christ as Lord, because that's what repentance is. But reality, they do. God forgive us. You know, we are so slow sometimes. Thank God for His immense grace and patience. I'm very thankful for that, because without that, I would be toast. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's a good reason to repent. It's almost here. And believe me, it is. It's coming very soon. Except you repent, you shall in like manner perish, Jesus said. Repent or perish. That's what he taught. He said, Don, wait a minute. I don't know if this is going on in your mind. It may be, but I want to set you at ease. Sounds to me like you're preaching salvation by works. No, I'm not. You are saved 100% without reservation by the blood of Christ, the price that He paid so that you could be saved. Absolutely. But there are conditions to salvation. There are. The Scripture lists several of them. You might be amazed at some of them. Every one of them you will accomplish if you really believe in Christ. There are conditions. How does a person get aboard the ark of salvation? 1 Peter chapter 3. Baptized. That's how you get aboard. How does a person stay in Christ? Repentance. It's part of the gospel. You see, when in Acts 2:38, the scripture says to do what? To receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It says to do two things, not one. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, I thought it just said be baptized for the forgiveness. Well, it says repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Repentance is part of the program. Do you know that there are scriptures that actually use the terminology repent for the forgiveness? Repentance for the forgiveness. John the Baptist preached repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I don't have the time to get into a detailed theological argument right now, but I guarantee you it's true. Repentance is part of the gospel, and that means part of the good news, and it's good news. You know, nothing makes you feel better than when you repent. And especially if it's motivated out of the love of God, out of trust for Him. Lord, I don't know why you want me to stop doing this, but it appears that way in your word. You I trust, you I believe, you I love. I'm going to do it. And just do it. Now, this shouldn't happen once a day, folks. Now, you might accept that a little easier if I said once a month. This shouldn't happen once a month or once a day or once an hour for that matter. It should be an ongoing part of our lives. How does it work? Something like this. When you have sorrow for your sin, and many people think that's the whole definition of repentance. It's not. It's sorrow that motivates us into action, a change of life. That's real repentance. When you have sorrow over your sins, it gets to the point, if you continue to live by God's Spirit, He convicts you, it gets to the point where you don't like that anymore. The things that used to give you a delight actually feel and look repugnant to you. Now, that's how it works. Oh, God progressively alienates me from the stuff that I used to love so that my heart can be attached to the things of His Spirit, the things of His kingdom, the things of His love. That is how it works. Could it be that the biggest problem in my life, in your life, in our lives, the very biggest problem that you have could be resolved by this one simple understanding. God, I do trust you. I do love you, and I know that you love me. I'm going to put this in your hands, and to the best of my ability, do whatever I think, whatever I believe, to the best of my understanding, your will. I'll tell you, there's a part of you that's going to chafe at this. There's a part of you that'll bristle and just say, wait a minute, I think you're getting a little extreme. Yeah, I hope so. I hope you're getting a little extreme, because if you want extreme results, you're going to have to take extreme measures. We suffer a lot of needless, foolish struggles in our lives because we simply refuse to follow the Lord's prompting. Now here's a catch. The thing that people want most in their lives is they want change. They want their job to change, or they want their boss to change, more likely. They want their marriage to change, or they want their wife or their husband to change, more likely. They want their weight to change, they want their appearance to change, they want this. They want all this stuff to change. One thing they want in life is they want change. Funny thing, the one thing they resist most in life, change. Change. There is a conflict there, you know, and something has to be done to resolve that conflict. We want all the circumstances in life to magically change, but we don't want somehow to actually have a change in here. We might be uncomfortable with that. It's unfamiliar territory, whatever. And we just miss tremendous blessings that God has in store for us. Well, if I just changed my car, then maybe life would be okay. I've struggled with that old beast for so many years. I'm not speaking personally, but I've spent a lot of years struggling with cars that may not get you where you want to go. But that doesn't really change anything. House, changing your house really doesn't change anything. After you get used to it, you're still the same person you were. It's like changing your location. I know I'm going to move to Tahiti and then I'll be happy. Yeah, right? Go ahead, move to Tahiti and then Africa and then wherever you want. But it will not make you happy. The scripture teaches in Luke 24:47 that repentance and the forgiveness or remission of sins is not only on the same page, it's in the same verse. And it says there, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Sounds to me like it's talking about the gospel, and it is. Acts 2:38, Peter at Pentecost, and Acts 17:30, Paul at Mars Hill. They preached repentance as a part of the gospel. Now, the definition of insanity. How many of you know what I'm talking about already? Just raise your hand. So he says, yeah, I know that definition. I have been there. In fact, maybe I still am. The definition of insanity is doing the same old thing, the same old way, and expecting different results. You keep doing something the same way, but you expect different results. That is a definition of insanity. You know, as I was studying for this, I found out something interesting. In the Latin, the word for insanity actually means to come to one's senses. The term for repentance in Latin actually means to come to one's senses. I like that. You know, you ever just hope somebody will come to their senses? You want to shake them until finally they come to their senses? Well, in Latin terms, that means repenting. I love that. The definition of insanity, doing the same old thing the same old way and expecting different results. In other words, what? You've got to change. If you want to be sane, you've got to change. Hello. Now, the definition of repentance. First of all, what repentance is not. Repentance is not, as some people think, sorrow. Does it involve sorrow? Yes, a particular brand, but it is not just sorrow. There's more to it than that. Mark 6:26 talks about being exceedingly sorry, but that is not repentance. Some say being sorry along with confession. Is that really it? If that was it, well, Judas would have been repentant. He was sorry for what he did. He took the money back into the temple and threw it at the priests, tried to get out of the situation he was in, and he confessed it. In Matthew 27, he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. So, even sorrow along with confession does not constitute repentance. It's more than that. By the way, was Judas saved?
No.
You're right. He wasn't. He wasn't. There are some people that insist he was. But then there are some people that insist everybody is going to heaven. And Jesus said the way is narrow. Well, that is not repentance. What is repentance? Some would say godly sorrow. Is godly sorrow repentance? Actually, no. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. So in it itself, godly sorrow is not, even godly sorrow itself is not repentance. It brings repentance. What is repentance? Some people say restitution and reformation of life. Well, you're getting closer because that is action. You're actually moving into action. You're feeling sorry enough that you'll make restitution to somebody that you've wronged. Or that you'll actually reform or change your life, the way you live. That's closer. But that is not repentance. Matthew 3:8, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. That's what John the Baptist taught. Some people came, wanted to be baptized, and he said, no, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. That means a change of actual life. Now, what repentance is? Repentance is actually both. Repentance is godly sorrow. And repentance is being willing to make restitution. Remember the tax collector who came to believe in Christ? Christ came to his home. He said, Lord, I will restore fourfold if I have wronged anybody in the taxes. I suspect the word if there was probably not necessary. Reformation, the change of life, and godly sorrow meet. You make a decision. Your heart is motivated enough that it's not just going to say, I'm sorry. Remember when you were a kid, you had a conflict with your brother or sister, you know? And you really had some problems. And mom came up and said, now say you're sorry. Did you think during that time, what does she mean? But you learned you could get around this little problem by saying, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, man. No, it didn't mean too much. And it doesn't mean too much to God. No. You know, when little Jimmy says, "I'm sorry," and he has tears coming out of his eyes because he means it, he's going to change his program. That's repentance. He's going to change what he does. The future is not going to be the same as the past. He has done the one thing that brings ultimate joy in heaven. I mean joy. The scripture says there's more joy in heaven. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 righteous that don't need repentance. That's a lot of joy. I mean, you know, do I have problems with sin? Yes. You know, the great part of that, the good news of that, is I can bring joy in heaven because I can perform by God's miraculous, loving, immense forgiveness and grace. I can do something that the whole universe of angels will rejoice in. That is, I can repent. You know the great thing about it? I can do it right now. Right now. Actually, I am doing it right now. I'm preaching differently this moment than I would be if I hadn't prayed about it, and differently than I would have been a year ago or 2 years ago. And you can repent right now, in this moment. You can repent of attitudes that have hurt your husband or wife, or that have hurt your children or your parents. You can repent of an unforgiving heart and attitude. In fact, you must. It also is a condition of salvation. Jesus taught, "For unless you forgive others their sins against you, God will not forgive your sins." Wow. But I thought all you had to do is believe. Well, yes. If you really believe in Jesus, you're going to believe what he said and do it. Well, time does not permit for the full scope of my subject, of course. But what repentance is, in Jonah 3:5, it shows what repentance is. They believed, it says there, they believed Jonah. That is, they had faith. They turned every man from his evil works, and they cried mightily unto God. That's forgiveness. They changed their action, every one of them, from his evil works, and they cried mightily to God. This has some fervency about it. This is not the kind of thing that says, "Oh, well, Lord, forgive me because, well, I have sinned." You know, this is something from the heart. It's having the heart torn because of grief over your sin. Repentance is turning from whatever is wrong in your life to God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, "Ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." That's repentance. Notice that term, serve. You turned away from the other to serve the living and true God. Some people are not growing in their Christian faith because they don't serve. Service is a wonderful antidote to the mesmerizing drug of selfishness. It is a wonderful way to overcome the grip that self-centeredness gets in our lives. Repentance is, quote, "a change of mind which results in a change of conduct." Well, when you want to know that somebody's repentant, and you watch and you see they change their conduct, you know they're repentant. That's where the real assurance is. A change of mind is a good description of repentance if in that You mean that your thinking has changed, that your emotions are changed, and that your will is changed, because it involves all of those elements to repentance. In Matthew 21, verses 28 through 31, Jesus illustrated what real repentance is. You can read that on your own. We have a limit of time. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 31. Repentance is the ultimate wisdom. The ultimate wisdom. I have invested a lot of my heart and my life in understanding wisdom. I mean true wisdom from God. And you know, wisdom, ultimate wisdom, is just like repentance. It requires a matter of mind, it's involved, but most of all, it requires action. This is amazing. Real repentance requires action. Real wisdom requires action. Jesus taught this in a parable of his, that real wisdom requires action. He said, there were two men. One man was foolish, the other one was wise. The foolish man built his house on a foundation of sand. The winds came, the streams rose, and the house fell. And great was the fall of it. This was the man, Jesus explained, that heard his words and didn't do them. He knew, he understood, but he didn't do it. He was a foolish man. Now Jesus talks about another man who was wise. He said he built his house on the rock. And what was that rock? He not only heard the word of Christ, but he did it. The wise man, he said, who builds his house on the rock, is the man who hears my words and does them. Wow. Doing it. Putting it into action. I'll tell you, you know, give me a person who puts things into action that he believes, and I'll show you somebody who really believes. Somebody who just gives lip service to the Lord, forget about it. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you say, Lord, Lord, you can say it 100 times, Lord, 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 Lord. That doesn't make you a follower of God, which is what the term Lord means. You're saying, you're my God. You're in charge. You're in charge of my life. A lot of Christians accept Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord, and they are not Christians. They simply belong to a group that has deceived themselves into believing they're Christians. Don't fear. You know, don't fear if you're fearing, wow, maybe I'm one of those. Well, probably you're not. But even if you were, you're on the right track. You're listening. You're believing in what Jesus says. And he will put you on the right track. If you're sitting there and saying, well, this doesn't apply to me, you better really listen up. Because we are presumptuous many times. We come to the conclusion that we have it spiritually made. And if we come to that conclusion, then we may be in grave danger. It's like the fellow who was a skydiver, jumped out of an airplane, and jumped to a conclusion. He said, well, I thought I had my parachute packed right. And on the way down, he's thinking, maybe not. He jumped to a conclusion. But we can't afford to jump to a conclusion in this area of our salvation. We have to be diligent in really looking. Repentance is the ultimate wisdom. It's the ultimate wisdom. I have been astounded by this. I always thought that the ultimate wisdom in life somehow included some profundity that missed most people. It's hidden in plain sight. And God doesn't have to worry about anybody stealing it. You know why? because nobody is going to get this until they start doing it. And when they start doing it, they're going to say, oh, okay, now I'm beginning to get it. It's a secret that will guard itself. I'm not worried that anybody here is going to learn the secret that will lead them to eternal life and steal it. Because you will not walk through that door. It means denying yourself of self. And you can hear these very words and you won't do it because you say, no, I'm me. I'm going to stay me. I'm going to keep my death grip on my lifestyle. Well, that's foolishness. Wisdom is to believe in ultimate wisdom, which is to do God's will. Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12 concludes the chapter by saying, when all is heard, keep God's commandments. Now, understand the book of Ecclesiastes written by a man who is the richest man, the wisest man, probably the most prolific writer, definitely the most powerful man in the world, and he made an experiment. He's going to find out what it's good for people to do. He made his life into a giant experiment, and after the whole thing was over, he tried everything. I mean everything. Some of it was not good. And after he finished, he said, the conclusion of the matter, keep God's commandments. I encourage you to read the book of Ecclesiastes, but particularly the conclusion in chapter 12. And there's another one that just is dear to my heart. It's in Micah, and in chapter 6. It says that the whole beauty of man is summed up in these words. And you know what it says? The real punchline there? Walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly with God, it says. The whole duty of man. God really isn't asking much of us, but there's a lot of depth in that simple little passage. A lot of depth. To walk with God. Not just with Him tagging on somewhere behind, or with Him up running ahead and you're trying to catch up with Him. It says to walk with God. He desires fellowship. He desires for us to be close to Him and to understand His love and to feel love and act on that love for Him. Well, time doesn't permit for everything I want to say, but what is our motivation for repentance? Time doesn't permit. Time totally got away from me. I thought that it was earlier than it is. How many people want me to repent and quit early? Oh, you are wise people. You are wise people. Not one person has raised their hand on the outside. Okay, then I'll preach for another minute or two. Boy, do I have a lot to say. What does the Lord require of you or of me? It says to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6, verse 8. Why should we be motivated to repentance? Acts 3, 19 says that we should repent so that there may be times of refreshing from the presence of God. Wow! You mean there's some way that we can guarantee God's presence? It seems to imply that if you are repentant, there will be times of refreshing from God's presence. He's going to be there. You can count on it. He is rejoicing every step of the way. The scripture teaches that two things are associated with the forgiveness of sins. What are they? Two things are for the forgiveness of sins. What's one of them? Baptism. What's the other one?
Repentance.
The other one says that the blood of Christ is for the forgiveness of sins. There are actually three of them. All those things are for the forgiveness of sins. It is not a false gospel that includes repentance. It is the true gospel. It's good news. If only we could fully realize that. God grants repentance, Acts 11:18. It's not something we just do. He grants it. In Acts 2:38, God commands repentance through the Apostle Peter. Repent and be baptized. That's a commandment. It is a privilege to be repentant. God actually gives the motivation for repentance. Sometimes fear is the motivation. Sometimes the hope of reward, and that is the Holy Spirit, or God's presence. Sometimes God's goodness. Romans 2:4 asks, do you not know that the goodness of God is meant to bring us to repentance? The goodness of God is there to bring us to repentance. Luke 15:10 shows that our repentance will be a joy to others. That's a selfless giving endeavor as a motivation. Conclusion? Well, the conclusion is up to you. You will make of this whatever you will, but I'm telling you, just devote yourself to walking with God, to walking humbly with God. Devote yourself to, on an ongoing basis, repentance. Repentance in a moment. As you're talking with somebody, interrupt yourself and just ask, where's my heart right now? What's my motive? What am I doing? Is this really in tune with the love of God? We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning that is one of my favorites. It's one that speaks of the love of God. And I hope that you'll hear the message of it as we sing this. Let's all stand. If you have a desire to commit your life to Christ, or if you have a desire to move on to some more life-changing repentance, feel free to come forward. Feel free, if you have any specific need, to come forward. God bless you this morning. If you heard this message, and if you didn't, I hope you have another chance.
Yeah. Things to say, and then we'll close with prayer. Number one, middle school night tomorrow night at my house at 7. Number two, girls small group will meet tonight for the last time for this time until next September. They'll be meeting a round table at 5 p.m. Both guys and girls will have small groups tonight during services. Number three, June 18th, that's next Sunday, we have a special mission emphasis on Father's Day. Brothers and sisters Doug and Carol Reed from the Dominican Republic will be here. They'll be here from our morning Bible Zone, Bible School time, all the way through. So I want to let the teachers know in advance for the next 2 weeks. Teachers, we have classes for everybody to come. We'll have Mission Sunday next week. The following will be Brother Lee Turner. Regarding Brother Lee Turner, he has the topics in 2 weeks on Islam. He's going to address those specifically. Islam over the top and toward the bottom will be a Saturday night presentation here at the building. And then on Sunday, he has three messages, Bible School, AM, and PM. Islam clawing its way back to the top. Islam, where is it going? And Islam, where it came from. So we'll talk a little bit about that in 2 weeks. VBS registrations are due. We need them due so that we can order the material. So if you've got children, please get those signed up today if you can. We also have, as was mentioned earlier, some camps and the registration forms are out there. Final VBS staff meeting will be Sunday, June 25th at 12:15 to 12:45. It's right after the services. If you can't make that meeting, please see me as soon as possible. That's June 25th.